Blog Talk Radio.
What's good? What's good? I hope y'all had a good day. Thank you for joining me for another version of King, Vision of a King. It's your boy Omar. Ho. And like I said, I hope y'all had a good day. I did. My bad, I had to get set up, make some moves. But yeah, it was a real good day. This pollen is out of control. Outside of that, it was terrible. Depending on where you live, I don't know if you got to deal with that, but I do, and it's bad. But, we're going to push through. Today I have a general topic that I wanted to talk about. No specific thing, but it's a situation where I just want to speak. I just want to speak, man. Out of all the stuff that's going on, like I said, the politics thing is always the most unnerving because it's so serious. I know I was at work, and I heard helicopters, and I look out, and it was big, big helicopters, like camouflage helicopters with the rockets on the side. I was like, dang, what they doing circling downtown? That's crazy. And then it made me think about the whole thing with bombing overseas. And it's just like, man, we're not really trying to deal with a war. I know we keep dealing with them, and it's almost to a point for Americans where because it ain't in our backyard, we don't really... Like, we know what's going on, and we don't want it to happen, especially if we have family in the military and stuff like that, but it's a situation where it's like, man, you don't even notice it, because it's not happening every day in front of your face, so you don't really have no real, like, reality of it outside of turning on the news, but you so used to turning on the news and seeing shit getting shot up and everything, like that's a normal thing too. So you might, everything about it is commonplace, but we can't be so foolish to think that it's never gonna reach us. And on some level, it always has. Reached us, and it always has touched us. It's just not necessarily seen as a war, but there's certain stuff that goes on that pretty much points you to the reality that it's not what you think it is. And it's also the reality that it's a lot going on. So in general, man, like I said, like I always say, a time to kind of be attentive to the day-to-day, because if that particular situation was to manifest into something else, then who knows what else would be brought forward. And I guess, too, that's a thought about being kind of prepared, because it's like most people not prepared for any kind of dangerous situation or emergency situation. And you really got to kind of be on your stuff and be ready depending on your circumstances. So I'm talking about food. I'm talking about water. I'm talking about batteries and all of the whole nine. Like, we so used to being plugged in to all of these, you know, different technologies and devices, but we not really like if we were have to deal with low tech, we'd be kind of out the door. We wouldn't even probably know how to work most of that stuff. And it's a situation where you really just don't know what you could do. If you were put in a situation where you had to do the idea that we definitely don't know how to make food and grow food and process food as a whole. You know, you got chunks of the country that because that's what it is to do, and that's what they do, that they know how to do it, but that's not as many as it should be. And if we're talking about people of color, I don't even know what that figure is, but I'm pretty sure it's sad. So, making clothes, making shoes, building structures, making any kind of product that you use to do any of this stuff. So making concrete and all of that. Even something simple as building a fire, like all essential things. Like it seems stupid, but you know, you got all this stuff, but it's like everything's stupid until you need it, you know? So, four-way. I know grown men that don't own a four-way for their car. It's like, no one gave you a four-way? This is crazy. And if they didn't know, you never went and bought a four-way. It's crazy. I just can't. So yeah, stuff like that is gonna be essential to what you know what I'm saying, to survive in that. And also, man, we don't really have, because of laws and because of law enforcement and how people move, we really don't know weapons and own weapons, because it's a situation where it's almost like either we own one, or as far as not owning it, we feel like we don't need it because we not own that, or you know, for whatever reason, we just don't go get anything to protect ourselves. But it's really a situation where you really gonna need something to protect yourself, because whether it's animals or people, if somebody's threatening you or your life or livelihood, then you need to do what you need to do and protect yourself. So if you don't have nothing to protect yourself, you're just a sitting duck. And that's just not what's up. It don't even gotta be nothing crazy. Like, you know, of course, it's certain things are easier to obtain, and they do, as far as using them, they do damage and it's quick and easy, but anything can be a weapon if you really think about it and put your mind to it and get creative on what weapons are, you know. From a simple standpoint. So that's also something that people, in my opinion, should consider. 'Cause you just don't, man, you just don't know. You just never know. You just never know. And like I said, when you look at other cultures, comes to, I really can't speak to females, because I don't know that I've seen that. And then being a male, it wouldn't have been shown to me. But with males, it's almost like a rite of passage that you learn how to protect yourself and you learn how to use certain instruments. And we really need to get back into that, because people are always talking about gun laws and all of that. And it's like, you know, if we didn't need guns, I would understand, but it's so much force being used. It's almost like, you know, why would we not have guns? So, and so it's a situation where You shouldn't need them, but you should have one just in case, because anything can happen at any point. So, I really want to go to the range and practice, and I think everybody should do that too. Stay informed about, like I said, basic use and maintenance, and just to have some kind of knowledge on that. The hard part about the scenario we in is we depended on a lot of different stuff that we don't have no control over. So if something were to ever happen, we would be up a creek because we depended on these things. So if we talk about the food, it's like we depended on the grocery store having the food. So if it all get gone, then that's it. Or if they inflate the price, we gotta pay it and deal with it. Excuse me. And so it's really about trying to get independent from these, all of these real situations and insights, because being that plugged in just don't make no sense. And it's a situation where you so plugged in that you're not really analyzing the world around you in a way that you can constructively see what's going on. Because if you do, you just don't care. So, but it's hard. It's hard for me to believe people really wouldn't care. So, all of this, like I said, being plugged into all of this, you know, it's if you're going to be plugged in, you should at least be prepared so that you cannot be plugged in. And it's levels too, man. People talk down on homeless people. Homeless people got survival skills that if ever things were to go south, they'd probably be good. You know, they know where to go to try to sleep. They know where to get food. They know how to get food. Like, and then the next step up is the outdoorsman and the, you know, nature person who know what herbs and leaves that's edible and the ones that'll make you sick. Like, all of that's important. And so, it's just real important that people, like I said, be prepared and know what's. It's sad because you really can't even be prepared like you used to could, even as far as being informed, because now you even know just as far as information and as far as news and what's being presented to you. So you pretty much gotta take what's given to you. And it's done been so messed over, you just don't even know what's what at a point. But it's a real dynamic situation. And the facade got to stop too, man. People really need to stop it. Like, people really need to stop it with the, and I know it's been said before, but the whole idea that we pouring all of this effort and energy into election every 4 years as far as the president, it just don't make sense. Like, it don't make no sense. Because why, like, I just need somebody to explain to me why we can have all of these messovers and mishaps and electoral college, and then nobody, like, we never even get into the conversation. And I know this has been said in another podcast, but it's just a wrap for that, man. I'm not even trying to talk about that no more. I ain't trying to talk about the election. I ain't trying to talk about voting. I ain't trying to talk about the importance of voting. I ain't trying to go tell nobody to go vote. As far as the president is concerned, I definitely think people should be informed about the local politics and the politicians that's affecting local change. But some of the people that make it up the ranks are the ones that take the chances and the ones that are on board on some level with the big picture. So up at a certain point and them doors closed and the meetings get had. And people end up getting smeared and their lives getting, their careers end up getting ruined for stuff that everybody else that came before them did. And that's not cool. Like, people messing over money, and it's like, I'm pretty sure a lot of these city managers and people in these big positions are messing over money. I'm like 60-70% sure, because they are being just working jobs and how money floats around. A lot of it's loose a lot of the times, and even when it's tight, if people are slick about how they move with certain transactions, then it can really be a good look and seamless, and that's terrible. And it's like, man, it's not so much terrible. It's terrible that the people still doing it. Like, people are doing all kinds of, and they're writing all kinds of stuff off via the state and via, you know, other people's dime. Like, it's just not a good look. Especially given the conditions of the country and the conditions of the humanity in it, real talk. Everybody, y'all, I mean, it's just so much going on. And some of this kind of little stuff happening and people don't even care. And people just like, come on, bro. So this next go round is really, is what, 2020? When Kanye supposedly run, this is whatever happened with that. Wow, it's gonna be a circus, because this was a circus. So the next one got to be extra circus. And I ain't with it. I'm about to sit back. I'm gonna get me some kettle corn, and I'm gonna just watch the show. And I'm not gonna talk down on nobody that's for it. I ain't about to go argue with no old people and have them tell me about all my ancestors that died. Because the symbology of it all is very, it's very real, and it's admirable, because in the time, it was a very bold move to go do something like that. And I'll probably say it. I mean, and now that I know it, but it was probably more of a pure process then, even though there's probably still some hands thrown in, some votes thrown in. But when you talk to older people, like I said, they it's been manipulated. Really, like, again, why? And I hope the kids, they already half and half with it. Some of them really with it, and some of them not. But it's just a waste of life. And so hopefully we can get some local stuff done, and hopefully we can get some people in positions that we rock with, because and get some stuff done that we rock with, because I saw an interesting thing about gentrification and how we mad about gentrification, but then, like, the black people with money don't take advantage. Like, they not the ones that moved to the hood. A lot of gentrification going on. And I was like, well, that is interesting. I mean, I'm pretty sure it happens, of course. But that's very interesting, because it's like, that is true, where if you really took the affluent black community and you took the what was considered the poor community or the hood, and you put them all in that same area, which is a black area anyway, you could really build it. Like, it's for real, it's a plan for success. So it's almost like, how do you get all of them people on the same page in a way that's constructive to the benefits of everybody? Because it's going to be hard to do it without no white people in the room. And it's not going to be hard, but I'm saying, like, the numbers got to be good, and people's intentions and the leadership of that group would have to be on point and prepared to take a lot of criticism and scope. So it's like, that would be a good look, though. And combining resources and knowledge, and just creating, even if for nothing else, but to create a good place for people to raise their kids and people to foster their ideas and really get their businesses and their ideas off, why not deal with one another? And this is a common thread of this podcast, but it's like, why not deal with one another? And why not deal with one another like other races do? And capitalize and have something, and you know, have a respect that so people know what the deal is, and they know they can move on something and can't move on other things. You know what I'm saying? It's just amazing what could be done if we were just to focus our energies and efforts. So it's just hard, I know, and we're not used to it, but that's on purpose, and we got a condition that we need to outdo and grow out of so that we can really make moves, because we behind in real life. We behind. So, and people don't want to admit it. Shit. Most of our families don't own shit. Even those of us, like, I consider myself fortunate. I grew up with both my parents. They were educated on some level, and they had resources. And so, and they had decent jobs and provided a good childhood for me to focus on what I needed to focus on. And we still short like a motherfucker. Like, it's like when you look at other, like I said, groups, some of these groups have, and then what's crazy about it is, now that I'm getting a little bit older, I'm starting to realize that that's not 100% true either with white people. Like, it's assumed that a lot of them got money. Well, a lot of them fucked up too and poor, and their families don't have nothing, and they just trying to make it too. So that's another misconception. But a lot of other groups, they got at least property in their family, or even if they poor, they might have some kind of something, or if nothing else, the identity in the history of their family. But, you know, we don't even have that. So it's like we really building all of this, and we got to really make our block strong so that our kids can build on top of what we do. Because the foundation, like, we are still on the foundation. Like, it's not, the people always say, like, oh, we're standing on the foundation. Like, no, we're not. We are still building the foundation. So it's a situation where, you know, either we're going to move fast or we're going to move smart. So I think we're going to have to move smart. But if we're in position and we're really passionate about everybody coming up, then I think we can do it. It's just a matter of, like I said, working together and focusing. Because we do give all our money and all our attention to this stuff, like even clothes. Like, I used to really be into the fashion thing, but I really be like, fuck that now. Because first off, the product lasts as long as some products be really better and cut better, and it's like a better product. But you can usually find a replacement that's just as good, if not better. And then two, the people, a lot of times the artists that created that product don't even rock with black people. So we really giving them all this money and praising them, and they don't even rock with us like that. They don't even, their product is not for us. Some of them will say in interviews they hope that we stop wearing it. They don't even like that we wear it because it's not for us. They don't want us running around in that, they name on their chest, on our chest. It's like we represent them, and they hate that. So some of them, I'm saying. So, and it's enough people now where people being creative, you could just go support somebody and have you some dope clothes, dope shoes, dope everything, suit. It's somebody to do all of that. So it's like if we can really get into having that and building and fostering that, then we won't go wrong. And the product, again, we the product kings. So it's a situation where we gonna always make the best product. Yo, what's good?
What's going on? What's going on?
Chilling. You just caught me in the middle of just talking about us trying to come together and pretty much build some kind of community. And we be talking about we standing on the foundation, but I'm saying we really still building the foundation. It's not even set yet. And
I'm knee deep in it. I was actually just talking about that a few seconds ago with my nephew. Well, with my girlfriend, and my nephews are down here.
Oh, word.
because I've been having, you know, taking them out and having some experiences with them. And first and foremost, you know, part of the reason why people say having kids is expensive is because they made everything fun expensive and made everything that involves children has advertised and all that kind of stuff. But that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But in this
right.
assessment, it has, you know, first of all, we had to sign a waiver, you know, rules and regulations. And I was like, damn, similar to my household, where they trying to get me to put a lawsuit on my mama and my daddy and my brothers and sisters. They want me to put a lawsuit in my community. So if anything ever happened in my community, I can go to them. Like, I feel like as much as I understand liability, if you get sick in my house or you break a bone in my house, I should have to come make sure you get well. I should be to you in your service because I didn't take care of you in my space. Or maybe it's your fault. You didn't take care of yourself in my space. But there has to be some other way other than filing suit, and because now you're breaking people apart from each other, even in the community.
Right. Right. And where I was saying was, we really even need to get to a point where even a product that we deal with and consume needs to be from us, because a point I made was like, some of these artists don't even want us wearing their stuff. And then
right.
pretty much when we make it cool anyway. So it'd be brands flopping. And then we it's like a brand that's flopping, and we pick it up, and all of a sudden it start popping, and it jump over all the other brands in one, you know, month time. And it's like we so good with it. I was saying we the product kings. Like, we take things and make it different and put our little twist on it, and then everybody want to come get it. So it's like, I don't even know why we can't even see the simple half of, man, we could take the bullshit, the Walmart clothes that people get picked on. If we get all the rappers or all the influential fashion people to start wearing it, guaranteed Walmart clothes would be the most popping shit ever.
But we can draw some connections to what you're speaking to, Omar, to what we saw on the United Airlines this past week too. Like, we lived through a Tommy Hilfiger and Armandette. Well, you know, with Ace of Spades and all these different corporations who basically come out and say, we don't want black people touching our stuff. So we, similar to United Airlines, like, we done seen people come out and really be like, well, we don't fuck with y'all, so we really never liked y'all promoting our stuff. I even joke with my homies sometimes, like, bro, I wonder who owns Hennessy and do they really know black people love it? And if they were ever asked, how do you respond to it? Because that would change a whole lot of people's liquor choices.
Right.
But that's why sometimes you put that illusion there that I don't have an opinion as long as you're buying it, but if you ever ask me, I'm going to be honest.
Right.
So what do is exactly what we need to be on, which is, hey man, everything here can be produced already. Like, you already heard about Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels had to come out and snitch on themselves and say, like, this is an old recipe from a black dude.
Right.
So the idea, you said, we're the production kings, the idea that, well, we can't produce what Exxon produces, we can't produce what this corporation is, like, well, where did they get it from? Where did they get the idea from? More likely
right.
they got the idea from somebody else. And then what they also did on the back end was shut other people out of the business to a point where you think Jack Daniels is the only people who can make that liquor.
Right, right. And that's crazy, too, how they strategically waited till talking about something, he ain't had no living relatives. Like, that's a damn lie. Like, come on, none? None? That's interesting.
Well, you know, they pick and choose whenever black people have too many kids and black people don't have no kids.
right. I was like, y'all got to be kidding that y'all couldn't find... This man probably got cousins all over the South. Don't he have none? Right. Probably last name Daniels for real. It's crazy.
Right.
I'm
pretty sure, 1,000% sure, that Butterworth, that picture is based on somebody who's real and they family still living. Uncle Ben, I want to know who's killing his car, because I'm pretty sure they still living. Like, this whole idea of bloodlines being totally cut off, I have a hard time believing.
Yeah, man. And, like, just because we know how stuff kind of went and people got put in position and, you know, stuff was, like I said, it was always popping. And it's hard for me to believe that, you know, some slaves or whatever, not necessarily slaves, but, like, some black people had their little club because it was a black-only club, and the white dude that owned it, he come down there, check on them to see what's going on, and they done made some shit in the back that they drinking and everybody turning up. And he like, shit,
right.
I'm about to take some of this to the, when it's white night, I'm gonna damn bring some of this. You gotta make some of this for me. And they just done ran off with it. took full credit. And that's crazy. That's one thing about that Forrest Gump movie. I was like, that's cool that Forrest came and gave his family the money. But the whole shit was, and QB just dropped, but the whole shit was Bubba idea. Come on now. Like, that boy ain't had no damn vision for nothing like that. And he just like, oh yeah, I gave him his piece of the money. It's like, well, I guess he did the boat, but he's like, you do the boat and I do the shrimp. I think it was the little slogan, but come on, man. Come on, man.
Right. Yep. Use the arrow.
No, you good. But I was saying about Forrest Gump, like, it was dope that he took him the money, but it was Bubba's idea. Like, Forrest ain't had no idea for no shrimp boat. So it's,
I mean,
like,
that movie,
yeah,
was,
he
I,
gave
hold on. Hey, now let's go one step further. Forrest Gump was legally, I'm not using this term just haphazardly, he was literally retarded.
Right.
So Bubba was the genius behind it all. And him giving money was out of the kindness of his heart, if he had one. But that's me projecting. But that's what you're saying in Forrest Gump is really the American way. And
right.
Even going one step further, they projected it as if the Bubba Gump family would have that money for generations. But we already know that in the death of black people, everything must go. So very rarely,
right,
if ever, are black people passing down any type of wealth. And the statistics back that up.
Right.
Yeah, and that's not talk about the intentionality behind death taxes and everything else for a certain ilk of people that make sure that nobody in your family gonna come up off of your death.
Right. That whole situation was just crazy. And it's like, man, he should have been getting whatever the dude to drive the boat get. And it's just like, that's his homeboy, and he was looking out for him. But this is like, that's just wild that they built up this man, and like the way that they did it. And it's like, I mean, they gave him his due, but they didn't really. And
right,
because they showed you somebody else who they presented as being the equal, but in reality, he was low key genius out here.
Right.
Let me go.
Yeah, I know.
Yo.
And that's the great part about it. What you're speaking to is going back to the story that I just told. They tried to show Bubba Gump, a man who could read, write, and had ideas for a restaurant, as equal to a mentally retarded man,
right,
who eventually took over his company because he died in a war that, even when he went back home, he was being called a nigga and couldn't go no place and being segregated against.
Right.
That's the one who died in the field.
Right.
And the bastard of them all, Lieutenant Dan. Oh my goodness.
Right.
We support that bastard to death. And his drug addiction and his wish for suicide and death. We support that till the end.
Good. That's all good.
What's good?
Chilling. You just caught us in the middle of just talking about community, black community, and how we need to do our own. And we kind of got into a metaphor of how Forrest Gump got the credit for the whole situation, but he was just really more of a piece of the operation. He had no part in the creation. and then, like you were saying about Lieutenant Dan, though, that I guess version of white male expression, that expression is the beloved expression. The tough kind of, he's so tough that he even gonna die on his own terms type. And even if it don't make sense, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's the coveted expression where it's like, you can't touch that man. There's nothing, he's badass. He's the one to be, you know, he's the one to mold yourself after as a man, regardless of his shortcomings.
And Omar, I'm actually writing a paper right now about that, doing research about that. And that's really rooted in the record called the denial of death. And that whole denial of death is that whole heroism and narcissism that comes with it. Great example of that is any Clint Eastwood film. I love Gran Torino because the whole Gran Torino plot line was really like racist old white man in Detroit Detroit is being overran by what he defined as immigrants of Asian descent. And in his right mind, he's going to go fix these Asian gangs. And in the movie, which is a blockbuster, the end is a blockbuster. Basically, he goes to this gang trap house armed with a pistol to shoot these Asian triads. I mean, these Asian gang members. And he gets lit up the Christmas tree.
Right.
Like you said, Omar, it's still the idea that that was him dying on his own terms. And it was like, no. He didn't die on his own terms. He got shot.
Right.
Somebody chose that.
Right.
Like, no, in the mind of the filmmaker, a white male, this is an honorable way of dying on your own terms because you stood up to your community that was going to shit because of the immigrants.
Yeah. And that's also, too, when you look at this whole, like I said, the our current president, like, it's the same thing where it's like, even though he kind of an asshole and he be fucking up, it's still that coveted kind of don't give a fuck. It is what it is. You're going to have to deal with it my way or the highway kind of mentality.
Right.
And it's ballsy. And the reality is a lot of people don't got the balls to just really be that way. So when you got somebody that can be that example, it's almost like you got to have balls.
Balls of the allowance, because believe it or not, Omar, I believe a lot of people got the balls. I believe others are forced into submission.
Hmm.
Can't underwrite how some of us, I mean, Omar, I look at you, I call it out. I look at you as one of the most ballsy people I know in human interactions and interactions in groups. And I know that if you had the allowance and other saying privilege, but I'm going to say the allowance that we all participate in to allow somebody to be this ballsy. Like, I can't really go out and say that Donald Trump instills any type of personal fear as an individual towards me. But that's how they get most black men, because it's not about the individual threat. So it's not like, in the streets, it's not about me squaring up shooting the one with Donald Trump or any other white man. It's like, nah, I'm gonna shoot the one with you. You're going to call the police, who's your backup, and your buddies, who's your backup. And then y'all all get in this legal system in case some other stuff happened. If somebody get killed and it ain't me, we're going to make sure that me and my family suffer from here on. So it's just that allowance. It's like there's no huge difference other than I can't sit here and say black men haven't continued to have the balls to be the same way, but press down and shake together differently than any white man or white woman for that matter.
And I appreciate you telling me I got balls, man. No pause, but it's and you both of you actually are two of probably. The most, I would say, outspoken, and you don't mind sharing your opinions and don't care really about what people really feel. It's not really about that. That's what, like, and so I think that's dope that, and that's probably why this situation works so well as far as us talking about stuff, because, you know, you really got to get to a place where this is my opinion and it's not offensive. I'm not going to let nobody sway me and tell me that I'm being offensive. Like, no, like, how am I being offensive, but you watch the president say some, the most racist shit ever, and then you still cool with it? Or it don't even got to be a president. It could be a coworker or a family member. You just like, oh, well, that's just such and such. Like, oh, okay,
no.
Well, so I'm going to think what I think and say what I say and keep my shit over here just like you do when you by yourself.
Let's play semantics. Let's go out or numbers a little bit. So out of the 52% of white women who voted for Donald Trump, how many of those you think fall?
Damn.
Just have a circumstance into the LGBTQIA community.
Percentage wise, I would say probably like under 10% for sure.
But that 10% is also complicit in the same kind of behavior that they would go off for any other population with. Part of me bringing it up was literally like, bruh, it's 50-50 for those who voted for him. So you're going to have to hit some ducks of some of these marginalized groups, if you will, who also voted for.
Yeah, and they don't even have a dog in the fight. It says it's deeper than rap, because if you still willing to be on board with it, regardless of how marginalized your groupie is, that means that you don't even care about your own oppression.
Fact.
And that's a hard pill to swallow.
Like you say, like there's something deeper than just the oppression that you're looking, that you're seeking. There's something else that's being said that you don't want to realize because you're supposed to be on another, side of this fight. So if we look at this as a two-sided fight, what I'm starting to see, even in this breakdown of the white women who voted for him, who may fall into LGBTQ, you got some people on the idea of progressivism or liberalism or going forward who are literally working for the other side, if you will. So they pick sides based on their own criteria. That's why when it comes to this whole unity and togetherness, I'm very skeptical of those people who say it, and it becomes kind of like, nah, man, I feel like you're going to turn your back on me as soon as somebody give you a little power.
Well, one thing that in recent couple days that I've been hearing consistently is somebody been saying that the like our community is very porous. We let anybody come in and out. Like we let people come in and take parts of our culture and like walk it back over to their culture, and then they go have fun with our culture over in their culture, and then don't even invite us in. Like they, you know what I'm saying? So it's like he was just saying like how are we, like, everybody got their whole shit, and they got their own everything, and they really keep it private and keep it to them, but we're so open and porous with our culture, with our, even with what we think and our moves, like, we're so open with everything that it's, like, we're easy targets. On top of that, we don't have anything that we can claim as our own, because everybody's really doing what we do, but we don't know it, because we're not allowed to see it.
Omar, I think part of that, man, it's one of my pet peeves because I see it in every avenue that I've ever been in, from social justice work to, you know, businesses and you know, just everything is literally like I can only say around black people, when we look around the room and say, maybe it's too many black people in here. We need to bring somebody else in here.
Okay.
But I've been in other spaces where I'm the only black person, like not black male, but not black, you know, I'm the only black person or person of color in general. There's no browns in here either. And there's no question or conversation ever comes up. It's like, hey guys, maybe we should include some other people in this.
Right.
It's very tough. Like we've now been trained that every move, we have to allow others to come in and not only glean from our work, but also learn from us. We'll teach them the whole way. Like we don't believe in, teaching, like even Coca-Cola to this day doesn't teach you part of the secret formula when you go through the factory. You go on a whole tour and they tell you that you don't need to know what the rest of it is. But we know that there's some people secret recipes that are proper right now on markets because they decided that, hey, maybe I need to include this person, or hell, I don't mind working with this person because they're going to help me get my word out. See, one of the worst things we fall into is I can't get the word out to black people or people in general the way a white person can. It's like, what?
Right.
That's blasphemy.
Like you can't get your product out there to people who look like you more than a person who doesn't look like you. They know them better than you. And that's
right.
Even with technology, it's also that illusion that well, they control what people see. It's like, to what degree? I love Steve Coakley, because he talks about how we have to deal with both the power of the illusion of white supremacy as well as the illusion of white supremacy and how much power it doesn't have. Because clearly these motherfuckers don't have a lot of power if they still are having to file a document and chase people down and all this kind of stuff. It's got to be some limitations to the bullshit.
Facts.
It's very deep, and I think two people, it's hard to, it's sometimes hard to know it when you in it. because you know it's just you're just dealing with being in it, and so you don't even that's your regular reality, that's your normal day. So you know you're not really seeing it in that light. And like these college kids, the current college kids, they really on some I don't see race type. I mean, you got some of them that's hip, but even some of the black kids is like, I don't see race. Because even the lower middle class, you know, certain things have changed and poverty has touched other communities in so many ways, it's very mixed up. So their experience is mixed up, depending on where you live, of course. And so, but to hear people in North Carolina say, a black person say, I don't think race is an issue, or where I don't see race, that's kind of wild to me. Because, like, that's crazy.
Everything's not about race.
Right. And that's an interesting sentiment, but it's shared. And they defend it to the T, black people. And I understand there's a full movement of, you know, stop blaming the white man. You need to get up off your ass and do what you need to do. And some of that's true. But I'm saying it's hard. You can't neglect some of the blatant attacks and focus. Like, we're the focal point of a lot of bullshit.
I would dare anyone to find in the gambit of things wrong with black and brown communities around the world one community that is not being affected by racism and the illusion of white supremacy. See, one of the main keys to the illusion of white supremacy is to show or create this propaganda that without their presence, these certain people wouldn't be civilized. But one thing that we know throughout world history that actually is the opposite. Like, their presence brings disease. Their presence brings depopulation. Their presence brings what we call a false sense of opulence. It's a false sense of cultural opulence that as these things get into your culture, this is actually a cue for destruction versus construction.
Hmm. Well, it's definitely present and prevalent, and it's across the board as well. Like I said, I watched a short doc on how Africa is being exploited. It was really, the whole thing was on slavery, and it was a CNN thing. It was pretty much talking about modern slavery around the world. One of the shorts was on the cocoa beans and how the raw product, I think I talked about this on here before too, the raw product ain't worth much, but it's when they process it, that's when it's worth a lot. But the farmers can't afford the machines, and so how they take advantage of them is buying the product raw for cheap and then processing it and then making bank off the finished product. And so that was wild. And then the wilder part was, so apparently, like, something was going on, and they ended up trying to give them new cocoa beans because the trees were dying, the organic trees were dying. And so they created a GMO cocoa bean that was resistant to some of the bugs and all of that stuff, but it was, like, fucking up the other crops. Like, you couldn't. If you grew the GMO seed, you couldn't have it close to the organic seed because it would fuck up the crop. And I was like, that's crazy that y'all really forcing these people to use GMO product to a point where you fucking them over on the beans as far as with the price of it, and then you fucking them over again by giving them the GMO tree that's probably not healthy and is messing up the natural crop. And they don't make no money off of none of that.
That's the illusion of opulence, man. The illusion of opulence is that we're going to bring science in here. It's going to work better than what you have naturally. And you're going to work with it because you owe us the beans. So this is slavery. But we're going to call it capitalism. And this is how it's going to work. So that, I mean, even going back to your first idea, your first discussion, Omar, when we talk about millennials and diversity, like, that's the illusion of opulence incarnate. Because we've been charged as this current generation of millennials with this idea of multiculturalism and diversity and everybody's equal. Let's go ahead and hold hands and kumbaya. But one of the lectures I was watching earlier, and I definitely agree, is kind of like, well, so what do we do with all this grotesque history that happened yesterday? and the day before yesterday, it was thousands of years before that.
Right.
In your current modern ideology of philosophy, because even in your current version, all it takes is a flip of the switch for you to go back to your old self, which makes me question whether that self is old or really fit. In the current example, this past week, all it takes is a couple pictures for you to go bombs away. A couple pictures, and we've learned as black men, all it takes is me flinching the wrong way, and you got to be planning my funeral.
Fact.
Right. And it's ever evident. Like I said, that's the stuff that make it hard for me to understand how these kids can keep seeing these shootings and these scenarios and still say that it don't matter and it don't count. It's like, man, it's happening to everybody, but it's happening to you and your people like you on a whole different level and with a way higher frequency. So, like, how do you just ignore that?
I mean, my answer to that, Omar, is first and foremost, you know, I've said this before on the podcast, for the God United, everybody gets his work. The loser white supremacy don't take no days off. And one thing it does very well is not robbing the earth. So every week since the new elected president, I basically had the same banter for a different group. Like, oh, welcome to the party, homie, because you made a documentary back to the party about us. So, I mean, I guess you're going to be coming to this party with us because everybody gets this work in America.
Right.
You built the railroad a long time ago. Appreciate it, but we don't really respect slave work here. We really don't respect anything but one room.
Right. And it's interesting, too, watching groups realize how special they are not. Even white groups. I watched a sorority girl get face planted on the concrete by a police officer. Like, he grabbed her and threw her down face first onto the concrete. And she was such a small girl. I was like, yo, her, like, she got to have some broke something the way he did
right.
it. And he used so much force. And this was a little white girl. So if a little white girl can get it, they don't give a damn about no, you know what I'm saying, the rest of anybody else. Especially, let's not even talk about women of other races. But it's just like, come on, y'all. Like, y'all ain't seeing everybody getting bodied. It's a tactful, forceful thing. And you going to question saying something back if you know you're going to get face planted on that concrete. That's male. I'm curious to see how some of these former military niggas are dealing with the police. And I'm saying niggas very loosely. Like, some of these white boys, like, how is an Alabama Marine dealing with an Alabama Marine with a souped-up charger that's getting pulled over, how is he dealing with that? Well, I guess, too, he got that Marine in him that's that yes or no, sir.
I think we've been getting the answer to that question in different ways, but it's not being framed in the way you just spoke of as far as when you have these guys who are from the military going to getting speeding tickets or getting arrested or even, like you said, you know, just any interaction with the law enforcement, and you take it upon yourself to think that I'm a highly trained officer, the best trained in the land, and this person's like, nah, man, I'm a Marine.
Right.
You're seeing some clashes when you see, not rightfully so, but some of those shootings and violence especially from men of all types, of all colors, races, ethnicities, whatever you will, when they're going into these places, and it's like, oh, this person had a plan. This person seemed like they had a plan and they're fully trained to engage in that plan. And that's been dangerous.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic in general. And I think part of it too is, which is another common thread, is the kind of panic of a negative or zero birth rate. You know, that'll make you feel a way. And then when you really look at historical things, and you think about birth rate and you think about just a lot of different stuff, it's almost like, well, that all makes sense to try to keep a certain balance. Because at a point, you ain't going to be able to just do it no more. So COVID is like, well, we're going to lose this color battle. So we got to take the mind. Because there's a lot of white-minded niggas walking around here, black people and white folks too, but white folks who is like, you feel supreme, but you in the same condition we in, homeboy. And the people that got money don't care about you. They don't care about your trailer. They don't care about your grandma on dialysis. Like, they don't care about none of that. So you need to get your mind right and separate, you know, what's going on.
And I say that in a double entendre because really it's based on their work. It's based on what kind of revenue stream you and your existence can bring to somebody else's pocket. That can be siphoned into a funnel, into one family's pocket at some point. One thing that we're becoming more hip to, because, my God, they're putting it in your face like a crossover, like who these pockets going to go to and how it's going to go. So part of even the conversation before we get there is like, bro, this dude said during his campaign speech is like, why we go to war with a country like Iraq and not get the oil? Like, what we doing?
Right. And now you're doing
it. You think we're just going over there to save some babies and women?
Right.
Get the fuck out of here.
And they got their own oil deposits.
Bro, I don't have to see Al Iverson cross over 15 times in front of me. So he crossed over. Like, we know how this goes, and that's the most frustrating part. When we even connected it back to, you know, the American part of the conversation, but we go through the same kind of mental buttfuckery of like literally trying to figure out out of things that are clear cut. Or it don't take a logic specialist to see how A plus B equals C. We don't need Pythagoras for that. We can see that right there, and it's right, and it's clear as day.
I don't think some people want to see it as clear as day, even when it's right there.
And it's, nah, it's not at all. I mean, we live in a society where, like, problems or issues are not addressed. They're only layered. Like, you know what I'm saying? You find so many escapes to not address what problems that you have instead of just attacking it head on.
Layered or labeled, man. It's one of those things where if you can just label the issue, then we can move on because we know what it is, we know what it's called, we know the definition. We don't have to really address it. Like, it's a great episode of the Carmichael Show that was talking about depression. And it was like, well, when you got bills and shit in real life and you're not wealthy, depression just means shit ain't going right.
Right.
Get your mind right back in the game. You got work tomorrow. That's what it means
right.
For people like me and you. But this new generation believes, like, well, I know I got depression. I can still work if I take my pill. It's like, no. You should be asking a deeper question of what society has created this condition for people walking around sad as a trait.
Right. And on top of that, the money that's being made off the medicine is just out of this world. And so it's like, you're not even considering what that's doing for your body and you making somebody else rich when there's other stuff you can do that's free that give you the same effect that the medicine does. And it's sad.
Yeah, for one, change your mental attitude. You know what I'm saying? A lot of illnesses that I believe are brought on, one, by mental conditioning. And, you know what I'm saying, and from there, whatever your mind is conceiving, whatever any kind of environment your mind is being subjected to, releases toxins through your body because your body is going to react to the mind. And then from there, you continue to sicken.
Yeah. And a lot of people definitely hold in that mental and block in. I think, too, that's another reason why black people stay so sick, because you got to constantly bite your tongue and constantly be watching what you say and making sure you're being politically correct and making sure you go, even how you walk in and how you move in is not a threatening demeanor. Like, you're not even being yourself until you get home and the door closed and ain't nobody looking. In some instances, depending on how people carry themselves. And so that in itself could be a health risk. You know what I'm saying? And that go back to what QB was saying, like, it really is a deep situation to a point where you don't even got to have nothing happening to you, really. You are on autopilot with it. So ain't nobody spraying you with no hose, but you know you can get the hit with that hose. So you're going to fall in line, too. It's a crazy kind of condition. But yeah, man, with that, I'm gonna go into this last word. So the theme that I pretty much ran with today was kind of just rebuilding the Black community and us kind of working together to achieve an end. Like I said, we are the product gods. Like, we take trash bags and make it fashionable. We take stupid stuff and make it fashionable. So we don't got to really go outside of that. We just got to obtain the skills. And so I think if we're willing to obtain the skills, then it's a situation where we can really create our own, and we don't have to let nobody in. Like, if you don't want to hire nobody that's not, so many people got their formula set up, and you look at their situation and it's set up perfect. But if it's a group of people of color, it don't get looked at as the same. And I feel like you got to understand that and move forward. So try to, on some level, work with people of color if you know you heading out on certain endeavors. And just understand that your role going to be different. So don't be looking for it to be normal and sweet, and that you ain't going to have no roadblocks and people ain't going to try to – you just got to understand that your experience is going to be different. So that's pretty much my last word.
Yeah, I kind of want to echo the same sentiment. As far as, like, take the opportunity to be selfish as a producer in this system, I feel like that's one of the main keys to, if I could say, our generation. But this generation is really going to start being the previous generation was way more giving into the system of their time and energy freely. I mean, I don't mean that, you know, as a critique to them. They made space for they've been saying millennials are starting to do, which is kind of say fuck the system a lot, because you're not going to sell us a dream and then just benefit off the work. I feel like this is a time for us to be selfish, and selfish to a point where we can break the system down and rebuild it up with the skills that we've attained through our selfishness.
Facts. And for my last word of the day, Black people as a whole, let's raise our level of standard. You know what I'm saying? Raise our level of expectation and excellence, not just of each other, but of ourselves. And through that, lend a helping hand to help our fellow brothers and sisters to raise their level of excellence and standard. And just to pick up back of what QB said, you got to be selfish. You have to follow what it is that you believe, you know what I'm saying, is going to be right versus what the system or the machine is telling you to do. You know what I'm saying? And just stay low, grind, and work it out, and it's going to happen.
Well, thank y'all for joining us for another version of King Vision. Peace.
Peace.